Yo vai Harishchandra Make Vikrita Purusha Pasu Stutva Devam Prachesadin Mumuche Pasa Bandhanat. Shunashepa's father sold Shunashepa to be sacrificed as a man-animal in the yajna of King Harishchandra. When Shunashepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is a description of Shunashepa. When Harishchandra was to sacrifice his son, Rohita, Rohit arranged to save his own life by purchasing Shunashepa from Shunashepa's father to be sacrificed in the yajna. Shunashepa was sold to Maharaj Harishchandra because he was the middle son between the oldest and the youngest. It appears that the sacrifice of a man as an animal in yajna has been practiced for a very long time. Shunashepa, who was born in the Bhrigu dynasty and was also known as Devarata, as one of his own sons, Vishwamritra ordered his other sons to accept Shunashepa as their eldest brother. Shunashepa's father sold Shunashepa to be sacrificed as a man-animal in the yajna of King Harishchandra. When Shunashepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. Every syllable of every verse is directing us toward pure, unalloyed devotional service to Sri Krishna. In this particular chapter, we have read about the incarnation of the Lord in His Shaktivesh form of Lord Parasuram. And dynasties of great kings coming from that time are being explained. In today's verses, we are learning that Vishwamitra, who was at that time a great Kshatriya king, he had 100 sons. They were all very illustrious and powerful souls. There was a king of the name Ajigartha, and his middle son was Shunashepa. Somehow or other, a king of the name Harishchandra was to perform a human sacrifice with his own son, Rohit. But Rohit very cleverly purchased, according to Srila Prabhupada's purport, he purchased the middle son of Maharaj Ajigartha, Shunashepa, to be sacrificed in place of himself. When the sacrifice was about to begin, Shunashepa, who Srila Prabhupada explained was very spiritually advanced, he prayed to the demigods for their mercy, and therefore they released him of his obligation and he was allowed to go on living. This idea of human sacrifice, Prabhupada said, has been practiced for a very long time. In fact, in various traditions throughout the world, this has been seen historically. There is a tribe of Native American Indians, the Aztecs, the Mayas. They also would perform human sacrifices in order to satisfy the god of the sun with tremendous rituals. They would build beautiful, beautiful temples for this purpose. And we find that even within the civilization of the Vedic environment, long, long ago, this was being practiced at times. However, according to the Shastra, this type of yajna is in the mode of ignorance. And exactly how it was done, what the procedures, I really do not know, because I never had much interest in this particular subject matter. However, one thing we do know, this type of yajna, which is for those in Tamaguna, is forbidden, especially in this age of Kali. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam there was a band of dacoits who were also practicing these human sacrifices, and they were looking for a man-animal. And the person they happened to find was Jad Bharat. We know the story of Bharat Maharaj, who was a king of the whole world. He was the eldest son of the great incarnation of the Lord, Rishabhdev. He ruled the world according to very high and pure religious principles. He was so detached that when he was in a position to coronate his own son as king, he immediately left. He left his palace, his family, his riches, his army, and his fame. In the same way a man leaves his stool after passing it. We all know how stool is something that comes from our own body. Yet we have no attachment to it. We don't even want to look at it. We just walk away. He walked away from all of the pleasures and luxuries of the life in the same way. He went into the forest to perform tapasya. He became so very spiritually advanced. But somehow he became attached to a little deer who was helpless. As the mother pregnant deer was jumping across the river, trying to escape from a tiger, when the tiger roared, she had a miscarriage, and the little baby was floating in the water, and the mother in distress died. We can see, in those days, even the animals like deers were more civilized than most human beings today. In the Western world, 1/3 of all children are killed in the womb of their mothers through the process of abortion. 1/3. And that is what is legally done. So it is obviously quite a bit more. But here we find an animal, a deer. She was so much concerned with the welfare of her little baby that she could not live. She could not survive seeing that her child was helpless and was about to die. So out of compassion, Bharat Maharaj picked up the little deer and began to take care of him. After all, there's no other protector but me. Maya has so many wonderful, wonderful ways of trying to entangle our consciousness. Bharat Maharaj was so spiritually advanced that Maya could not put before him some beautiful woman or luxurious temptations. He had those and gave them up with no concern whatsoever. And as far as desire for pride and prestige, he gave up the position of the kingdom of the world. So we should know that even when we give up sex life, even when we give up desire for fame and distinction, even when we give up desire for any kind of luxuries, Bharat Maharaj was living in the forest, he left his palace. Still, Maya will not leave you alone. She will always find some means by which she can distract your attention from Krishna consciousness. Very cleverly, decisively looking for whatever possible weakness is in you, and she will attack. Hare Krishna. Until we come to the stage of pure devotional service. Of course, if we have the association of sincere devotees, they will always be there to remind us that, Prabhu, this is Maya. Maya is coming. You do not even know. Get out. And we say, oh, yes, yes, of course. Thank you. Of course, if we are unintelligent, we will, out of pride, what do you mean it's Maya? I'm not in Maya. This is my service. Maya will give you so many justifications. However, if we properly learn how to associate with devotees under the care and guidance of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, we'll always be safe. But Bharat Maharaj did not have any association. He was all alone. Even if we are very, very advanced, we should not think that we can practice Krishna consciousness alone. We must have the protective environment of Vaishnavas around us. It is essential. So Bharat Maharaj was attacked on the basis of his compassion. Even compassion, which was one of the most glorious of all spiritual attributes, if it comes down to the sentimental platform, it can be the cause of our fall down. This little deer was so sweet and so nice. It was a little baby and was helplessly, totally dependent on Bharat as the mother, the father, the guardian. So Bharat, at first, out of duty, began to protect. But in due course of time, the little deer demanded more attention. Some of you mothers know how much attention a little baby requires. However much attention, we should always maintain the necessary sadhana that we have been given. Because if we give up our sadhana, our relationship with our children will become mundane and sentimental. And then your real duty as a mother is being lost. The duty of a mother and a father is to make the child Krishna conscious. And we take care of the body in a very affectionate and careful way so that that little temple will be a suitable place so that the soul will be inspired to use it in the service of Krishna. So it never has to take birth in this material world again. However, the tendency, due to the influence of material energy, is to become materially sentimental and forget the spiritual needs and become completely engrossed in the physical and emotional needs. And this happens when our sadhana is distracted and when we do not have nice association of devotees. So little by little, Bharat Maharaj was chanting less. He was doing his smaranam on the Lord less. He was puja because so much attention was being drawn toward this little deer who was demanding his full-time energy. When Maya wants to capture the attention of a person who is sincere in Krishna consciousness, she doesn't do it all at once. She does it little at a time, little. Just relax. It's all right. You're an advanced devotee. Little less chanting. This is important. Little less hearing. This is important. If you criticize someone a little bit, it's all right. It's natural. After all, it's Kali Yuga. You cannot refrain from blaspheming others. So in this way, little thing at a time until we realize we've lost all of our taste for Krishna consciousness before we even know what happened. And we're captured by the illusory energy. So Bharat Maharaj, little by little, put so much time in this little deer that his sadhana became finished. He had such intense attachment to Krishna, he dovetailed all of his attachment to Krishna toward the deer. And when the deer would not come home on time, he would be in vipralamba from the deer. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read of the gopis' separation from Lord Krishna. It's very similar. The same types of emotions were being expressed by Bharat Maharaj for the deer, for an animal. It was meant for Krishna, but he directed it toward this deer. And he was not in ecstasy. He was simply suffering more and more and more. He would be weeping and crying, "Where is my deer?" The gopis were thinking, "Oh, where is Krishna? He may step on a little stone and hurt his foot." Bharat Maharaj was thinking, "Oh, where is my deer? Maybe he is hurt, or maybe some other animal has come to eat him." Like this. He was so much immersed in separation. And in this way, he died thinking of the deer. The deer was so dear to him. And by the arrangement of providence, he took his next birth as a deer. But because Neha Vikramanasosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpamapyasi Dharamasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat, by Krishna's love for his devotee, any progress you make in the path of bhakti is never lost. Krishna always protects his devotee. It is his promise. So how Krishna was using Bharat Maharaj is, even as a deer, he had full consciousness of his previous life and the foolish mistake he made by sentimental compassion rather than understanding the needs of the soul of the deer or himself. So as a little deer, he completely detached himself from any of the fun that a deer may enjoy, and was simply trying to hear from the rishis in the forest and become spiritually advanced. And in his next life, he became the son of a Brahmin, very, very learned Brahmin. And he was known as Jad Bharat. In this birth, he decided, "I am not going to implicate myself in any material activities ever again. I learned my lesson." And he was thinking he should be very humble, no prestige, no honor. So he would do everything wrong on purpose. Every time his father tried to teach him, "My dear son, do like this," he would very intelligently do it the opposite way. to the extent his father said, after you pass stool, wash your hands, then come and eat. He would wash his hands first, then pass stool, then come and eat. Hare Krishna. Great austerity he performed to remain humble and detached. And everyone thought he was simply crazy. They thought he had some mental retardation or something like that. And even his own brothers, they made fun of him and they ridiculed him and they would sometimes beat him and spit on him. And he just was happy tolerating it. Even though inside he was such a highly realized, intelligent and clear-minded person, he was accepting all this as the mercy of the Lord. But the father was a very good man. He always loved Jad Bharat. And he would punish his other children when they would disturb him. However, the father died, as everyone must enter into the doors of death sooner or later. And the brothers, in the absence of the father, they had no affection at all for this son. He was an embarrassment. He was simply a disturbance. So to keep the birds and the animals from eating the crops, they took their brother and they made him just stand. In the West it is called a scarecrow, where they take straw or hay that you usually feed cows, or some grass, and they stuff it in a person's clothes to make it look like a person. Then they hang him on a stick, and then all the birds and animals think that there's a person in the field, so I will not go. So they made him like that. They said, you just stand here and don't move. So he was standing. He was quite happy just standing. His brothers were doing so many affairs, but they were not happy, but he was happy just standing. Meanwhile, this band of dacoits, they wanted so many material resources for their sense gratification, and being terribly succumbed by the mode of ignorance, they worshipped the goddess Kali by regularly performing human sacrifice. The idea is, if we give a nice human being to be sacrificed to Kali, a human being whose every limb is very nice, we decorate them and put ornaments on them, then Kali Mata will give us the fulfillment of our sinful desires. So they were looking for a good sacrificial man-animal. And there they saw Jad Bharat standing alone in the field, day and night. And he was very beautiful. Every limb was so perfectly formed. They were very happy. They didn't even have to fight with him. Usually they were accustomed to tying somebody up and fighting. Jad Bharat was perfectly willing to go wherever Krishna was sending him. So they washed him and they scented him with oils and they put fine cloths and ornaments on him. And he was so willing to do anything. They brought him before Kali Mata. They put his head on the sacrificial chopping block. And the head pujari, he came to perform his puja with a big, big, sharp sword, specially designed for cutting off humans' heads. Hare Krishna. Why this verse came today? I'm trying to, as well as can, stick to the verse. So he chanted his mantras, and after chanting the mantras, all the dacoits were gathering around. They were all chanting their hymns to Kali. It was a very, very ceremonious occasion. And then he took the sword and was bringing it down to sever the head. But at that moment, Kalimata understood Jad Bharat was a great Vaishnav. In his heart, he was completely depending on the mercy of Krishna. He was not in any way attached to his material body. He was simply attached to Krishna. Rake Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna, I am your servant. If you want to kill me, then I want to die. If you want to save me, then I will live. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed in one song also, Krishna, if you want to kill me, then please kill me. If you want to protect me, then please protect me. I have no attachment either way. I am your servant. I am eager to serve you in any way you please. A devotee is not attached to life or death. A devotee is attached to service. For a devotee, service is life. And to be without service is death. Sense gratification for a devotee is like death. And tapasya, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, is life. That is the consciousness of a sincere devotee. A devotee is always thinking himself helpless at the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained that when Krishna awards you this human form of life, it is a very sacred gift. It is a benediction. And therefore, it is our duty to protect this human body as far as possible, to keep it in good health, to keep it fit for devotional service. However, what is beyond our control, we should simply not be attached. We do our best in a Krishna-conscious way to maintain body and soul together. But ultimately, we understand that we are helplessly depending on the mercy of Krishna. And whatever he wants, we will gladly accept. Vasudeva was a leper. He was suffering so terribly, but he didn't mind because he could always think of Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and he became very beautiful, and all the thousands of worms that were eating his body away, they all disappeared, then Vasudeva was thinking, this is very bad. Now I am Vasudeva Amrita Prada. Now I will be known as the person who has received the nectar of the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I may become proud. If I become proud, then spiritually it's like death. If I'm always humble and thinking myself the insignificant servant, then I will always have the Lord's mercy. So he begged Lord Chaitanya, please tell me how to be free from pride. I have received your mercy. Lord Chaitanya said, always preach Krishna consciousness and always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is a preaching movement. Our acharyas, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they want us to do something wonderful to spread Krishna consciousness. But it's dangerous, because the more wonderful things you do, the more naturally you will simultaneously be attacked and criticized by some, and you will be praised and adored by others. And generally, you're praised and adored by people who are close to you. Oh, you have distributed so many books. Let us reward you. Let us honor you. Let us glorify you. And we're thinking, how can I be Trinarapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, in this predicament? Everyone is praising me. So maybe I should give up this book distribution. and be like Judd Bharat.
For sometimes we give nice kirtan and people say, oh, nice kirtan you have led. So then I will give up kirtan. Oh, you gave nice class. Then I will give up class. Oh, you dressed deities so nicely. Then I will not dress the deities. Then what will you do? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do everything first class, to decorate the deities in the most beautiful, opulent way so everyone is attracted, to give classes in such a way that everyone is convinced, to lead kirtans in such a way that everyone wants to chant and dance, to distribute books in such a way that the whole world is eager to read the message of Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavad Gita, and become purified, to cook in such a way that the whole world and all the devotees are satisfied eating Krishna prasad. So we must do everything first class. But we should also know that if we become falsely proud that I am the doer, it will spoil our devotion. It will make our service not pleasing to Krishna. So we must simultaneous to doing our practical services as best we can to attract people, not to us, but to Krishna. When we give class, we don't want to attract people to us, we want to attract them to Krishna and to the message of Bhagavatam and to Prabhupada's lotus feet. When we lead kirtan, we want to attract people to take shelter of the holy name. After all, Krishna can take away the power to speak in a second. He can take away the power to remember in a moment. He could take the power from us at any second at his disposal. We distribute books. Krishna can take away our power to hold the books, to speak, to see, to breathe. So we should be conscious that Krishna is the doer. I'm just the instrument. And if I take credit for what Guru and Gauranga is doing through me, then I become incriminated in stealing. It is actually theft. Hare Krishna. If someone gives a bank teller $100, the bank teller is supposed to give that $100 to the bank. If the bank teller thinks, if somebody says to the bank teller, I like you very much. You're so kind to me. You're so friendly. You're so handsome. Your qualities are so nice. You are the best bank teller I ever met in my life. Therefore, I don't want to give my money to any other bank teller except you. Here is my 1 lakh of rupees. Hare Krishna. Bank teller thinks, oh, just see, he's giving it because of my good qualities. So I should keep it. After all, he wouldn't give it to any other bank teller. If the bank teller does that, he is a thief. And as a thief, he will be removed from his position and punished. Similarly, Prabhupada said we are like bank tellers. We are giving Krishna's mercy, and whatever is coming to us, we must understand, it is all by the power of Krishna. And anything we get in return for giving Krishna's mercy, we should know, it's not me, it's Krishna's mercy. Whatever good qualities we may have, it is all Krishna and Guru's mercy. So what should my pride be? My pride should be in the glory of Guru Maharaj, the glory of Srila Prabhupada, the glory of Radha Ras Bihari. That is my pride. I am just insignificant little servant. They can do big things through their little servant. They can do nothing through their little servant. That is their free will. But I should do everything within the power Krishna gives me to serve the best way I can. And if we're always trying to preach Krishna consciousness to others, always remain nicely in the association and attentively chanting the holy names, we will be protected. And we will make great spiritual progress. So Jadbharat, as his head was on the chopping block, he was just thinking, Krishna, I'm yours, whatever you want. And because he was such a great devotee of Krishna, and ultimately Kali is also a devotee of Krishna, and Kali knows Krishna's philosophy, that to offend a Vaishnava is the greatest of all sins. And to please a devotee, to serve a devotee, is the greatest way of winning the heart of Krishna. So, in this situation, Kali was seeing that these people were going to make a very, very maha aparad to this Vaishnava. So she became furious. When Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Nityananda being abused by Jagai and Madai, he became filled with anger. Srila Prabhupada said, that type of anger to protect Krishna and the devotees is glorious devotional service. So Kali became so angry. You can imagine what is the anger of Kali. Just by seeing her in her peaceful form of her murti, people become afraid. She became so angry that the deity, Kali, actually manifested from the deity. Not only her, but her servants. And these forms of Kali came out and they started screaming in anger. And they took the sword from the pujari right out of his hands and cut off the pujari's head. And then all the dacoits, when they saw this, they began to run. But there was nowhere to hide from Kali Mata. She cut off the head of each and every one of the dacoits. And then they started playing catch ball with the heads. They were throwing them to one another. And after all the dacoits were slaughtered, Kali Mata offered her obeisances to Jadbharat. And then Jadbharat just went on with his life, walking around. Later on, he preached to Maharaj Rahugana, the king. And when Maharaj Rahugana heard his preaching, he got off his throne and surrendered his life to Jadbharat, accepted him as his guru. And Jadbharat just went back into the forest. So this type of human sacrifice is utterly forbidden. In fact, in this age of Kali Yuga, there is only one sacrifice worthy to be performed. I learned this from His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj. I asked him today, the whole verse is about human sacrifice. What should I speak on? And the first three suggestions he gave me were censored. But then the fourth suggestion he gave me was that the only sacrifice recommended in Kali Yuga is the loud chanting of the holy names of God. Jagyai Sankirtana Purayaya Jantehi Shumedashaha. In this age of Kali Yuga, those who have good intelligence, they will worship Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine associates, who is Krishna, who has come in a beautiful golden form by the performance of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Kaler Dosanide Rajan Astiheka Mahanguna. In this age of Kali Yuga, which is an ocean of terrible faults, there is one benediction, that simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anjata. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other sacrifice that will bring us the desired result of the awakening of our original Krishna consciousness except the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. An actual human sacrifice, in the pure sense, is when we sacrifice our human life through active devotional service to Krishna and the chanting of the holy names. That is the only bona fide human sacrifice. And one other very nice instruction in this verse is how Shunashepa, he was helplessly brought before the sacrificial altar. But because of his humility, he prayed for mercy. Prayer for mercy, and they released him from death. In a similar way, we are actually all going to be involved in a human sacrifice. The sword is time. Time is there to cut off our lives sooner or later. How to be free from death? It is only possible by humbly submitting ourselves and praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. And when He is pleased by our humble prayers, by our complete dependence on His mercy alone, that is called surrender. When we surrender to Krishna in this way, then He releases us from the cycle of birth and death and brings us back to our eternal life in this spiritual world. So let us always depend on the mercy of the Lord as our only hope in life, in every situation. Let us humbly surrender our lives to the service of the Lord, and let us perform the glorious sacrifice by which we can achieve the ultimate realization of Krishna prema in this very human life through the congregational chanting of Krishna's name. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Can you speak very loud, please? I do not know so many details about this human sacrifice. Does anyone know? Was this human sacrifice performed by Maharaj Harish Chandra? Does anyone know the answer to this? I also do not know. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
King Harish Chandra had no son. And he wanted a son. He asked for demigod Varuna to have a son. From a material point of view, though he was cognizant of the effect of having a son, from a material point of view, still he asked for a son. Varuna agreed to give him a son. At the same time, demigod Varuna told him he should sacrifice his son. But what is the point of having asking for a son if he is compared to give a sacrifice to Varundev? Can you clarify this point?
No.
Any other questions? We can do some research and try to understand. Okay? These particular verses are leading up to the dynasties of great pure devotees. Part and parcel of the stories. We're describing the descendants of Maharaj Gaudi, and we're reading about Maharaj Puru Rava, who through his frustration became a pure devotee. And another descendant we're about to read about is Maharaj Yayati, who also became a great pure devotee. And eventually Lord Ramchandra appears in this dynasty. These beautiful stories are setting the stage, like paraphernalia, for the advent of Lord Ramchandra and the advent of so many great, great pure Vaishnavas who surrendered everything to Krishna. So because these stories are being spoken of through the lips of Sukadev Goswami, for the purpose of leading us to these glorious narrations which culminate in pure devotional service. Therefore, the sound vibration of these verses is also fit to awaken our pure devotional service. If we understand them in the context that Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining, and we hear from someone who is explaining it in this context. Does that answer your question, Maharaj? Hare Krishna. There are any other questions? I would like to thank all of you very much. Hare Krishna.